Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the UBS Market Moves podcast channel for another episode of CIO First Take. For today, we are joined by members of the UBS Chief Investment Office for some timely thoughts and reflections around the April Consumer Price Index, or CPI print, and what the latest inflation data might mean for both monetary policy and the markets. Joining us for today's conversation, glad to welcome back Brian Rose, Senior Economist for the Americas, Leslie Falconio, Head of Taxable Fixed Income Strategy for the Americas, as well as David Lefkowitz, Head of Equities for the Americas. So Brian, Leslie, and David, thank you for dropping by Market Moves for this timely update on this morning's CPI print. To get started, Brian, I'll first pass it over to you to provide some overall thoughts, reflections on the data, and what it might mean for the course for monetary policy from here.
Thanks, Dan. Good morning, everyone. So CPI came in slightly less than expected. I would put the emphasis on slightly. Really, not that far from what the market was looking for. You had headline coming in at 3/10, and the consensus rounded up to 4/10. So that's where there was a little bit of a downside. The core CPI up 3/10, which was as expected. But if you compare it to the first 3 months of the year, this was the lowest core CPI print we've had this year. And if you combine this morning's data on CPI and yesterday's data on PPI, you can use that to estimate the core PCE inflation, which is the inflation measure the Fed is most focused on. And based on the data, it's probably going to round down to 2/10 and more or less in the range that the Fed needs to see in order to start cutting rates. And, if you look at the details of the CPI data, a lot of the same drivers that we've seen recently. On the positive side, auto insurance up another 1.8% month over month. It's up almost 23% year over year. It's not a big part of the CPI basket, but it's up a lot. So it is adding significantly to the overall inflation rate. Then on the downside, used cars and new cars both falling month over month. Airfares were down. Car rental prices were down. So, again, nothing extremely surprising in this data. Also, worth noting that core goods prices were down 1/10 month over month. They're down 1.3% year over year. So all of the inflation is being driven by services. We're actually seeing deflation in terms of core goods prices. I also wanted to mention we had, at the same time as the CPI release, retail sales for April. And these were weaker than expected, flat month over month. And the retail sales control group, which is the portion of retail sales that flows directly into GDP estimates of consumption, that was down 3/10 month over month, and there were some small downward revisions to prior months. So this was also a surprise to the downside. I would say this is mostly noise in the data. But this will have an impact on GDP tracking estimates. So obviously consumption is most of the economy. If you have a downward surprise in retail sales, it will lower those estimates. The Atlanta Fed will announce their revised GDP Now tracking estimate later today.
Well, Brian, thank you for providing some takeaways from the data accounting for both CPI, you mentioned retail sales as well, and some thoughts as to how the Fed might be interpreting this. Moving over to the market response, as mentioned, we have Leslie Falconio and David Lefkowitz joining us to speak to fixed income markets and equity markets, respectively. Leslie, starting with you, what are you seeing in fixed income markets post the release of CPI?
Yeah, I mean, I think as Brian covered, I mean, even though, CPI may have been slightly weaker, but pretty much as expected overall, I mean, this is a relief to the marketplace. I mean, given the inflationary pressures that we've seen in the first quarter, which really repriced the outlook of the Fed path, I mean, a consensus number is actually, considered bullish to the marketplace, meaning yields go down. I mean, as Brian mentioned, I mean, it was slightly below. You know, retail sales was a bit weaker, but you know how the market is pricing this in now is that it's starting to once again, you know, reassess that future path, meaning that now we had, and the market's pricing in a little bit over two cuts for 2024 with, you know, 98% chance in September, like a maybe a 38% chance in July. And one of the things that we've discussed as well is not just, you know, prior to the May 1st Fed meeting was not just the hawkishness that was coming into the meeting, but also how shallow that rate cuts were after 2024, meaning what they look like in 2025 and 2026, that pushed that terminal rate over a 4.1. Now, that terminal rate right now is, you know, sitting at about a 3.8. And that is, in our opinion, about where we believe that'll land, around 3.7, 3.8. And we do look for continuously that we think that interest rates will fall into the second half of the year. But, you know, what we need to see in order to really meet our 3.8 objective at the end of the year, we do have to see or feel more confident of that cut. We know the market's become more confident, but we've had this sort of, you know, move from dovish to hawkish pretty quickly, you know, all through the first 4 months of the year. But this, even a consensus number is a welcome number to fixed income. And obviously, you know, we're rallying here down to 4.35. We extended a little bit our duration around that 4.67. Our short term, you know, interest rates, you know, outlook is about a 4.25 to 5.5 in 10-year treasury yields. To break that 4.25 on the downside, we really would have to see either employment, you know, weaken the next employment report, or really get close to a high probability that the cuts are pretty definitive. So again, we lean long. This is great for our high quality sector allocations, because now that interest rate risk that we have within our higher quality is starting to really kick in terms of yields coming down. We keep the same high quality bias. We look for rates to move lower. And we do think, as Brian pointed out, as Brian called, that we're going to have two cuts this year starting in September. And right now the market agrees.
Thank you, Leslie. And then David, against the backdrop of equity indexes trading at or near all-time highs following yesterday's close, what are your thoughts on the implication of this morning's CPI print to equities and the near-term response we've been seeing in the futures?
Yeah, thanks, Dan. Yeah, you know, equities are clearly taking this positively. I mean, as people I'm sure will recall, we had about a 5.5% drawdown in the S&P 500 in April, which was, you know, largely just due to the fact that we at the time interest rates, long-term interest rates were rising pretty aggressively. You know, now since interest rates have sort of peaked late in April, you know, the market has also recovered and has really basically recovered all of its 5.5% or so sell-off. And, you know, we'll see where we close today, but clearly, you know, the downward move in rates that Leslie just described is certainly giving more ammunition to the equity bulls and moving stocks higher. I mean, it's also particularly, we're seeing particularly, you know, some outperformance from small caps, which also has been especially sensitive to long-term interest rates, and so those are outperforming here in the pre-market period. You know, I think from here, Dan, it's gonna. I think the kind of concerns that we saw in April around the hotter inflation, you know, have largely, you know, almost been eliminated from the market at this play at this point. You know, because we're basically back to all-time highs. And then I think from here, though, you know, we also got the retail sales data. I think Brian talked about this. You know, we want to make sure the economy doesn't cool too much. You know, right now, I think it's sort of a little bit of a Goldilocks environment for equities, where the economy is cooling, inflation's cooling, and that opens the door to the Fed cutting. But I also think, you know, if we see too much of a cooling in the economy, you know, people might get concerned that there could be downside risk to earnings growth. That's not our expectation. We think the earnings season actually has been quite good. Earnings momentum looks pretty strong. And so we think the move in stocks higher near all-time highs, you know, makes a lot of sense. But that's just something to highlight that is worth watching. And then the other catalyst from here is going to be NVIDIA next week in terms of their earnings report. So just summing it all up, you know, our main message is stay invested in stocks. It's a good environment, you know, sort of durable growth, cooling inflation, Fed likely to cut, surging AI investment. And it looks increasingly likely that the market is trending towards our upside expectations for the S&P 500, which implies, you know, sort of 4 to 5% further upside over the course of this year.
Well, David Lefkowitz, Leslie Falconio, and Brian Rose, thank you all for dropping by UBS On Air Market Moves for today's CIO First Take, providing some thoughts, reflections on today's data, the CPI print, as well as retail sales, what it means for both fixed income markets as well as equity markets, and what we can expect over the near to medium term. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.